You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts as we roll through the New York Giants off season. We'll be bringing you as much content, as much discussion of the 2021 season as we possibly can. And here to help me break down what your New York Giants look like currently is a good friend of the show, Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan. Em, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It has been a while, but we've been busy, man. So definitely looking forward to talking some Giants football with you.
So, hey, we haven't talked. You know, we talked a couple of weeks before the NFL draft. Have you gotten over the shock yet of watching Dave Gettleman, pull two trades in the first two Giants picks? Have you recovered from that yet?
I've recovered, and it's funny because, you know, not only, and I've said this before, and this just is not for Dave Gettleman, but just for the league in general. The last two drafts, when less has been more because of COVID-19, I think the entire league really drafted well for the second year in a row. So maybe they should be on to something about, you know, maybe we don't need all of these pro days and things like that because it gives us too much information, and less is more. And we saw Dave Gettleman, despite trading down, and, you know, picking up an extra first round in a loaded class for 2022, he actually nailed the draft again. And now, granted, you could argue the merits of should they have probably taken Justin Fields, but the fact that they, you know, if that's the route they're going to go with Daniel Jones, then so be it. But getting a Kadarius Toney and all these other picks and a pick for next year is like, you know, they did really well. I had no issues with the selections they made.
You know, let's dive into, before we actually dive into the Giants per se, I want to explore, you know, what you talked about in just in terms of the draft process. I mean, I have said for a while that the draft process lasts too long. There's only so much that you can know about these players. There's only so many times you can check the measurements. You talk to the people you have to talk to. You talk to the kids. I have contended for a while that there's so many stages to it, so many visits, so many discussions, that what teams wind up doing is finding reasons not to draft players. They find reasons to talk themselves out of things. And I don't know, I like a simplified process, you know, one that doesn't last quite as long, doesn't involve so many visits. I wouldn't mind having the draft earlier, to be honest with you. Just thoughts on the process itself.
No, I totally agree with you, because think about it. They already have scouts out there all year scouting these players. So the scouts would probably get down to Florida if they're allowed to travel, you know, later this month or next month to go over the 2022 grades, right, for the prospects. So the process has already started, and you and I both know, man, you know, just from watching football, you could kind of tell who's the guy, you know, on a team and who the guys are. So you're right. Do we need to go from end of January or early February now with the Super Bowl to late April. I mean, I get why the NFL does it because of TV. You know, you want to, you know, have the people talk about the NFL from February to April. It's just smart business. But we've seen the last 2 years that teams are going to go off what the tape says, which is why we've seen the last two drafts look really good for everybody, top to bottom, as opposed to years previous when you have all that space where you get too much information, where you're talking yourself out of players like you talked about, and when you're getting enamored with what you're seeing in a non-football setting. You're getting enamored by the workouts and, ooh, he jumped high, he ran fast. But, you know, you get away from how well does he play on the field. And I think the pandemic has shown us that if you keep it focused on what's important, you'll end up making good decisions. Think about the Giants draft last year. You know, I thought they nailed their offensive line picks. All those guys played and played well in spurts, right? And then you look at what they did in getting guys like, you know, Tate Crowder. He played, he had a good, you know, stint with them. Cam Brown ended up playing well. Carter Coughlin, when he got out there, showed some flashes. So it's like maybe this process should be simplified. Xavier McKinney made plays when he got on the field. Giant, it is almost like it's a fail-proof way for teams to not make mistakes. And I thought and it shows you the value of the scouts, because we know last year the scouts essentially ran the draft because they had all the information. And I think that's the approach you should have. These scouts have, you know, scouted these players for a full, you know, 8 months, in some cases for a year in most. So they know a lot about these guys already from a talent perspective. And the medicals don't take long for you to gather that information. So I say they should try to keep it simplified and roll with it that way.
The other thing that I find that I think the Giants have done the last couple of years that I think is also really, really smart. And I don't know if you saw this, but did you see the Urban Meyer comments, I think before the draft, about him freely admitting that there were times he did not tell NFL teams the truth about certain players because he wanted to side with the players, he wanted the opportunities for the players, and he didn't always tell NFL teams the truth. And what it makes me think about is that it's really, really smart for the Giants to rely on people that they know will tell them the truth, people they have long-term relationships with, the people from Alabama, the people from Georgia, the people they have on their staff that have worked in college and know some of these players. So, I mean, first of all, just your thoughts on a guy freely admitting that he didn't always tell NFL teams the truth about players, and then thoughts on the Giants, you know, kind of leaning into their connections a little bit.
Both are, you know, really good points, because if you think about it, it's beneficial for the college coach to talk up his players because he wants those guys to get drafted. Why? So when he goes out recruiting, like, hey man, look, you come to our school, we have all of these draft picks. And so that's why it's beneficial for the coach to kind of, you know, stay away from the negative and lean into the positive. And as far as the Giants going all in on their connections, look at their staff. You know, there's a ton of collegiate experience there, guys that they know that were out there recruiting some of these players 4 years ago. So they have a good bit of intel on a lot of these guys and leaning into their connections, not only on staff, but also within that staff and who they know. So, yeah, that approach seems to be working for the Giants as well.
All right, so let's talk about the guys they did draft. And I don't want to go through each and every one at this point. You know, it's been a little bit of time at this point. But just tell me, you look at the Giants draft and just picks that you really thought that they nailed. Just, you know, guys you really think will do well for the Giants.
Starting with the first one, Kadarius Toney was outstanding. You know, this is someone I believe his game is very similar to that of Antonio Brown. You know, when you look at when Brown first got to Pittsburgh, you know, people thought he was just a crossing route type guy, gadget guy. He's, you know, a little quick, you know, guy that you want the ball in his hands, but develop into a legit game breaker. And I think Tony's the same on the same trajectory. I think people are looking at him wrong in terms of him being a gadget guy. No, that's just what he was asked to do at Florida. But he has a little bit of nuance in his route running. He's going to a great receiver coach in Tyke Tolbert. And also, he has the game-breaking ability with the ball in his hands like an Antonio Brown did when he was, you know, in his heyday at Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh. So I love that pick. That's another one that's, you know, he could work well with Daniel Jones, who's not the best deep ball thrower. So with a guy like Tony, you don't have to get him, create ways to get him deep down the field. He can take those short passes a long way. I love what they did on the edges with Azeez Ojulari in the second round. Because remember, we talked about this. We didn't see him as a first-round dynamic edge rusher. But if you're getting him in the second round, you're getting someone that's a solid run defender that does have a power rush move that he can utilize, but also helps, you know, provide good depth or even a solid starter opposite of a Lorenzo Carter. But Ellerson Smith is one I'm really high on because he has the length. He has the athleticism. He bulked up a bit. And that showed, he showed he didn't lose that athleticism when he was down at the Senior Bowl with the added weight. If you go back and watch him 2019 against Iowa State, that length and quickness was giving, you know, those offensive tackles problems. So he kind of gives you a little bit of an upside type player like an O'Shane Zimenez. So I love how they were able to, you know, get some body that reminds them of Lorenzo Carter and someone that reminds them of Zimenez. And, you know, really strengthen the edges for the defense. And I thought Aaron Robinson was a knockout as well. It's hard for people to, you know, press receivers in the slot because they're off the line of scrimmage. But the way he's able to utilize his footwork and the way he's able to mirror and match in that regard to throw off the timing and make plays on the ball. And he's a bigger corner. You know, that's something that to me, that yields itself to him being out there on the field. So I thought they did a really good job with those picks, man. Those are the ones to me that really stood out.
Anything out of those six picks that kind of made you shake your head or you're like, I don't understand picking that guy or, you know, anybody stand out to you in that way?
Maybe I knew they were going to be in a running back market. But Gary Brightwell to me was kind of a head scratcher. When you think about what they have in Saquon Barkley and what his tools are, you know, elusive, explosive, standout receiver coming out of the backfield, game breaker. Brightwell doesn't have those similar traits. And there were guys that, you know, went undrafted. Let's say like a Javon Hawkins out of Louisville went undrafted. He's with the Falcons now. Or even Elijah Mitchell from University of Louisiana would have been a great fit because he has a lot of those same traits. Explosive, can help out as a returner, dynamic receiver going downfield. I thought that would have been the more ideal pick, especially since you have a Raging Cajun coach on your staff now. I thought that would have been kind of the way they were going to go. Brightwell, to me, seems like he would have been the best fit for the Coughlin administration, as opposed to what they're trying to do now with Saquon Barkley. So I just thought that one was a little bit questionable. But then you see how they felt about that pick in some way by the subsequent signings of Raquel Armstead and Corey Kmet.
Yeah, I wanted to get into the free agent signings of Armstead and Kmet. Just Your thoughts on those two guys, you know, take them one at a time, but your thoughts on what they might get, out of those two backs.
First, you hope Armstead is completely healthy. He dealt with COVID the entire season and he really had long-term effects from it, which is unfortunate because I really liked this dude coming out of Temple. You know, he was an angry runner, coming out of Temple and did a good job in that offense. And I thought he was going to carve out that role in Jacksonville, paired up with, at the time, Leonard Fournette. But because he caught COVID and dealt with it all season, he missed the entire year. So health-wise, if he's cleared, ready to go, shows no ill effects, then they got themselves, I think, a solid RB2. And then Kmet, we've seen him kind of be a little bit of everything. You know, we've seen him be a valuable asset in the playoffs. For the Eagles, we've seen him, you know, do things in this league that the Giants kind of want Deion Lewis to do, you know, had him do. So I kind of see him serving in that role as well. And now when you look at that, along those two, along with Devonta Booker, you kind of like their depth now behind Saquon Barkley.
All right, I got to put you on the spot with all of those backs. Who's the odd man out?
I think Elijah Penny could be the odd man out. I think Brightwell may end up being on a practice squad, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. I think the Giants are interested in Brightwell's special teams capability as well, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him land on the practice squad either. So I have to ask you, one guy, the Giants only signed three undrafted players, which is really interesting. You know, some years teams sign, you know, a dozen or more. The one guy who seems to be drawing attention is Brett Hege, the center from Florida, I believe it is. Are you a believer in Hege? I've seen guys, you know, say that they think he might be the center of the future for the Giants. Are you a guy who thinks that he can be that?
If they want him to, he was my 11th graded center in my draft guide. And, you know, he's good, solid all around game, you know, and when you think about, what they want in that position, they want someone that gives them a little bit of versatility. Think about the running theme that they've had the last couple of years, guys that have played multiple spots. So he started at both guard spots at Florida, and last year was his first year fully starting at center. So the upside is there. He is a strong point of attack player. That's really good in a run game. So you get someone with some upside. He has the guard quickness and is going to really start to grow into the center position. But I'm more excited about Jake Burton, to be honest, out of Baylor. He was at UCLA and was doing really well. He played guard at Baylor last year for the first time after playing right tackle his entire career at UCLA. So, again, guys that can play multiple positions up front. So you talk about people that can play guard and center, and guys that can play guard and tackle. And I think he is good in pass pro. He's good in the run game. You know, I had a higher grade on him. He was my 16th offensive tackle. But, you know, the fact that this guy has played guard and was solid at guard last year for Baylor and you know, has extensive experience starting at tackle just kind of tells you what the Giants want in their offensive lineman moving forward.
Well, you know, there are always guys who land on practice squads, you know, late round picks, undrafted guys who land on practice squads as developmental offensive linemen. Would your guess be, you know, that a guy like Burton could land a spot like that with the Giants this fall?
Could. And I can see it for Hege as well. You know, remember, they did that last year with Kyle Murphy, you know, who they really liked out of Rhode Island and had him on the practice squad, you know, the entire season. And so they trust in their system. You know, Burton is a really good player to me. It's going to be hard to keep him off other teams, you know, list for trying to poach. So we'll see how they compete in camp. But yeah, I could see both Hege and Burton ended up on the practice squad because the Giants have shown, even with a Nick Gates, you know, even though he spent some time elsewhere and came back, but he was on their practice squad initially in 2018. And that shows you they have a system in place that they like to, that they can develop guys at that position.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected.
and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Em, so let's do this. You know, we look at the NFC East, and we know what the Giants have done. We know they finished, you know, technically second in the division, you know, last year. We know what they've done in the offseason. Everybody loves making their offseason predictions and over and unders and all those kinds of things. You know, and I don't know. The Giants might win 7 games. They might win 10 games. I don't know. You know, there's so many factors that play into all of that. But when I look at it, it just feels like when I keep seeing over and under for the Giants of 7 or 6.5 or whatever, it feels to me like the Giants are a team that's not getting enough love. You know, nationally, just in terms of how much they've improved, heading into 2021 for a team that made as many aggressive moves as they made and improved the roster as much as they did. It feels to me like they're not like people are not giving them enough credit for that. I mean, am I wrong in that respect?
Not necessarily. I think the trepidation for many is squarely pointing at Daniel Jones. You know, I think people know the Giants defense was the reason why they were flirting with the playoffs last year. The defense got better. You know, they're going to be really good on defense. They're going to be up there, maybe not with the star-studded power of the Washington football team defensive line, but the Giants were almost impossible to run the ball against last year. And the secondary, I think, is going to be tremendous. I think their secondary is better than Washington's secondary. Their secondary may be the best in the division. And that's pound for pound. Across the board, I'm talking about corner, nickel, safety. Giants are loaded in the secondary. The linebackers now with a healthy Lorenzo Carter, they're athletic. We saw him having a really good camp last year. And he was on pace for a breakout season but got injured. So I like the Giants defense. Defense alone should get them 6 wins. Offensively, when you have a Saquon Barkley back healthy, knock on wood, and those added weapons, I think offensively, if they're just going to go with the run the ball, play good defense, they can get to 8 or 9 wins easily. But going over that, I believe, will be dependent on Daniel Jones. You know, if Daniel Jones can have this leap, of productivity, then they can get to 11 wins, I believe. But right now, I think if the over under is 6, I'm taking the over. If it's 7, I'm taking the over. I think the Giants are, because, you know, there's no 500 record this year, but I do think the Giants are an 8 or 9 win team, just off run game and defense alone, straight up.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And I think that's why I keep looking at that. At that 6 or 7 number and going, I just don't think people are giving the Giants enough credit. I do think you're absolutely right that so much of this comes down to whether Daniel Jones takes that leap. And we know that the comparison for Daniel Jones is the leap that Josh Allen took in 2020. And I don't know if it's fair to expect that kind of a leap into MVP consideration. But I do think that he has to take some sort of a leap for the Giants to be a really good football team. What would your expectation be? If you're looking at it right now, do you think the Giants are playing around Daniel Jones in 2021, or are they going to win some games because of him?
I think they're playing around Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones, from a stat line standpoint, can get back to, his rookie season, 24-12 is what they need from him outside of the 2 billion fumbles he had that year. If the fumbles go away and he can give them, 24-12, we saw this last year with Trubisky in the Bears. The Bears got to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years with Trubisky at quarterback. And Trubisky and Daniel Jones are probably about one and the same, right? Now, granted, the Bears defense has to be dynamic, and the Bears were also playing in a division where their defense could win them some games. Giants division is a little bit unique, a little bit tougher in that regard. But Daniel Jones doesn't have, like you said, he doesn't have to have the Josh Allen breakout year or the Lamar Jackson unanimous MVP year. He could even have the Sam Darnold year with Sam Darnold, the mono year when they were 7-6 with him in the lineup. So it's, for me, it's just about Daniel Jones not having those critical fumbles. And we saw last year, the good part is we saw last year them be willing to let him be an athlete and let him use his legs and utilize that a little bit more. Now you add that component with Saquon Barkley coming back and, the improved catch and run weapons we like to talk about, on a perimeter. They can, if he can just get back to throwing the football like he did as a rookie, then I believe they can get to that 10-win, 11-win mark. Because 8-9 to me seems to be the floor for a team that's going to be that good defensively, especially in secondary, and also stopping the run, and a team that's going to get back one of the most dynamic players in the game in Saquon Barkley. And yeah, they added a Kadarius Toney, a Kenny Galladay, who's going to be a good chain mover for them, a good red zone threat. They got a solid duo at tight end now with Kyle Rudolph bringing that veteran presence. The offensive line should be better because they played those pups last year, and now those guys got legit game experience, and they got better every time they played. So you're going to see the best from Thomas, the best from Pert, and you're going to see Shane Lemieux compete for a starting job. So Daniel Jones just has to be rookie Daniel Jones minus the fumbles, and the Giants can get to 11 wins.
All right. Hey, Em, always appreciate talking to you. Why don't you let folks know what you've got going on this summer as we all try to just make our way through the summer and wait for football this August?
Yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to jump on. They can, follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. They can still pick up a copy of the draft guide at footballgameplan.com/2021draftguide. We know these rosters are transient during training camp or preseason, and we're working on our draft grades out there. We're working on positional battles for Big Blue View as well, and going by position and breaking down what the Giants look like heading into training camp and preseason. So a lot coming down the pike here between Football Game Plan and Big Blue View, and I'm excited for it.
All right, Em, thank you very, very much. And maybe a little bit closer to training camp, we'll get you on. We'll talk a little bit about NFC East and preview some training camp battles.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you for listening, Giants fans, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.